Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Bonna Pfeiffer.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who play with needles. Let's see. We have, you know, recent reports, the Batcave is in full production mode here. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I am in full production. Man. I went back earlier than what I wanted to, but that's okay.
Yeah. Some of those stand-ups, you did some just stand-up things.
The weighted stuff.
Yeah.
I did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are neat. Is that a request or is that your idea? This needs to be a stand-up.
Sometimes. The ones that I did last week, they were requested that way. Yeah. But sometimes I see things and it's just like, oh gosh, this would be perfect like that. And I'll say, would you like that? And they'll say, sure. So I think that the weighted stand-up is making a comeback. They were kind of really popular in the 90s, I'd say, probably the late 90s. And they kind of died away for a while. And, you know, everything is new again, kind of in vogue lately. And I have noticed, I did my first bunch of stand-ups, I think it's been 2 years ago. And ever since then, it's like I get a lot of feedback on my pictures on my Facebook, my Finishing Business Facebook page, where I just post my pictures over, you know, of my finishes each night. And I get a lot of feedback on the weighted stand-ups. And then I've noticed that just recently, the Cricut Collection has introduced a Nativity series. And they're all weighted stand-ups.
Oh.
So, right?
Oh.
Yeah. The first ones that I've seen that aren't primitive, you know, like the primitive stitching, you know, sect, they have stand-ups. But this is the first, like, mainstream-type stand-ups designs I've personally seen. Now, I'm not saying that they're not out there. That I've personally seen, I would say, for a good many years where the cover model are weighted stand-up. So I think that's interesting, personally.
Are the figures, are they serious or are they more cartoony? Sometimes I think some of those manger nativity things don't, you know, they look kind of almost cartoony.
No, they're not cartoony. They're beautiful. I've often thought that, or I didn't often think. I saw them for the first time last week. A person of mine.
Bonna sits around for hours thinking about nativity.
And thought about
him. Hours and hours of thoughts about nativity cross stitch.
But no, I saw him. My friend brought it to my attention. One of my friends said, "Have you seen the weighted stand-ups?" And by the Cricut Collection, and I was like, "No." And so I started. Well, that made me want to go look for them, right?
Yeah.
And so I look for them, and I think they're nice. Now they're the ones that they have for their models. Like the angel is like a triangular shape, and it's, you know, I don't like that. If I was going to do it, I would do them like you see on my, you know, just the round, like arched type.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I would want. These are more like they have like Mary's arms are kind of like outstretched, you know, like you see on statuary and stuff.
Oh.
And they have her arms like, so it's her, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
It looks like a weird ghost shape.
Right.
That's what I thought when I saw it. That's not what, you know. And so if I was going to do it, I would just do it as an arch, a smooth arch.
Yeah, I think I think those look best. Yeah.
I do too. I think that's more, I think that, well, it's just, in my opinion, it's just clean, you know, and I like clean and seamless. And so that's what I would do personally. And the cording on the models, was gold. I think they had gold. I know it was gold on Mary and baby Jesus. And I think that I personally, if I was going to finish those, would be more in a color line to match the linen or the Aida that you stitched it on, uh-huh. because I don't think in my mind that you want to draw your eye to the cording. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
You
know, no, I would agree. Yeah. Everything should go away to the background except for the figure. Yeah.
Right. But they were very beautiful. I mean, like I said, I sat and thought about, do I want to buy these? And then I thought, what are you thinking about, lady? You got so much stuff. You can't buy any more stuff. So I put them on. I took pictures. You know how I save pictures? You don't know, but I save pictures of stuff on my iPad, like in my photo roll or camera roll or whatever, of things that, I would think, if I'm going to buy something, if I feel like I have to buy something, I go look at that.
Yeah.
And then I go buy it. But I put them on that because they are, I think the cross-eyed cricket has really beautiful designs. And I think they're very detailed. And she has out Mary and baby Jesus and Joseph and the angels, one angel. And it's beautiful, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want those stand-ups with appendages because I think long-term, then they start to get damaged and they don't look as good.
Right, and I think that dates them, too. I think and I think that makes it, like what you said, more cartoonish flavored. I just want a seamless, timeless type look. That's what I would want.
Right.
They are very good. They're pretty good size. I think that Joseph is because I calculated them up on I think they're stitched on 28 count over 2. And I think they're all DMC and they're about 6.5 inches tall.
Oh.
So I thought that was pretty good. That's a pretty good size figure, really. Yeah. So it would be a nice, I guess that it's going to be an ongoing series or something. And I would guess, I don't know that, but I would
hope so. I mean, we got to have a donkey.
Well, you got to have a donkey and a camel and, and the shepherd boy and the little drummer boy. But anyways, if it was an ongoing series, that would really be, couldn't you see that stitching that and having that as like a family Christmas tradition? Cause I kind of collect nativities, and that would just really be a fabulous thing to pull out every year. So I'm going to watch that series and I'm going to see where it goes, because if it continues the designs keep on going how I've seen the first two leaflets, I'm going to very seriously consider buying in, hopping on that train, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I keep my eye open, and there's a couple of them I've seen, and I'm not going to remember the name, but there's one that's pretty sophisticated and big, and it looked like, I'd be dead before I got Jesus and Mother and Mary done. But so I kind of keep my eye open for ones that can be done in a reasonable amount of time that don't look, that look nice. I think if you'd stitch a nativity scene, you're exactly right. You want it to be some kind of a tradition, something you want to put in a prominent spot at Christmas, as opposed to putting it in a prominent spot at like Valentine's Day. So now you raised another question for me. This is going to be one of those shows where I know we're never going to get to any of the stuff that's on the list, but so what?
That's the way our shows always are,
I think so. Do those stand-ups, I were to stitch those on 40-count linen, does that hold up for a stand-up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no problem, huh?
No problem. And see, I line the way I make them. I don't know how other people make them, but the way I make them, I put interfacing in them, and then I line mine with quilting cotton also, because I'm really a real big stickler, and I know that you know that about stuff. But when
there's been talk.
I want my stuff to look completely smooth. You know what I mean? I don't want any lumps. I don't want any bumps. And I have just found that if you do that, if I line it with interfacing and then I line it with a quilting cotton, that just makes it makes it like porcelain smooth.
Uh-huh.
And, so that would work perfect. You can do 40 count, whatever count. I can do it. Or you can do it.
No, you do it. Because 40 count, that would take it down to like 4-inch-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that it would be smaller. And that would, it would be cute. They're cute. And I think that Cross-Eyed Cricket is one of those designers that uses I think she uses pretty much a lot of DMC, but different colors to get like depth of the project, you know, coloring. And it's really, honestly, I was very impressed with her, with what I saw of that. So yeah, it'd be beautiful. Right.
Pardon me a moment while I write a note to check that out. Because I need more things.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like a, you know, just like a what hole I said. In my head.
I know.
I mean, you just need more things.
That's right.
Oh, shoot. Right. Yeah, I've got an order waiting of stuff that I need. Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right, well, so I'll be checking that out. And didn't you do a, speaking of those stand-ups, you did a video on how to make those, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yes, I did.
So people who are of the ilk can just go follow that, because, yeah.
Yep, you can go look, because everything I do, Gary, I give away free.
Yeah.
But, no, I can tell for people that, you know, I am a regular contributor to the Punch Needle and Primitive Stitcher magazine.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything, but I'm going to say it anyways. In that magazine, it's stepping outside the box, but I also finish it. I finish a stand up in that too, that's coming out in spring. Now, it's not the pattern that I did, was not meant to be a stand up. And I talk kind of about how you look at patterns and how you pull things out, you know, from things. I do that a lot, and I know I'm not the only person in the world that does that, but the design I used was popular. It came out at the Nashville market, I'm gonna say, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more now. And I loved that pattern from the moment I saw it. And it's like one of those things, and I know that you have to have patterns like this in your stash, where you see it, you love it, and you think, I've got to stitch that. And then what happens? You never stitch it, you know?
Yep.
So this is one of those designs. And I feel like in this magazine that I contribute to, that I have to, like, you know, because it's for finishing. The creative twist is what it's called. And I feel like I have to outdo myself every issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just feel like I don't know how much more I can outdo myself.
I was going to say, be careful. You'll get a headache for very long. Yeah.
So anyways, in this next issue, I talk about I take you again, step by step, how to do a stand up. And, in there, I'm using this design that I have always loved, and used an element of that design to make a stand up. So, you know, FYI, go, you know, subscribe to that magazine or get it or off the newsstand or something, because it's going to be fabulous. But anyways, I do have a free video.
Spring edition?
Spring issue, yes. It's not out yet. I don't know when it's going to come out, but yes, it's in the spring edition.
Yeah. Yeah, those consumer books. Now, like our magazine, the two that we do are trade magazines. So when we ship them to the printer, then it's like 8 days, I think, and they get mailed. But those consumer magazines, they have to be done so far in advance that, because they not only have to get them printed, but then they have to go through the whole distribution channel to get put on newsstands and in stores and all those things. And yeah, there's a lot of lead time there. So yeah, I know you, talking to Arlene too, you have to work way in advance to
right.
It's done. Yeah, talk about something in the spring and it's winter's right. Just starting.
Exactly. And I was working on, you know, and that's another thing that takes a lot of time to, like, you know, because I have to finish something. That's what the whole article is about.
Yeah, you actually have to do it.
Yeah, I have to do it. And so I was stitching my project. When everybody was stitching Santa Clauses, I was stitching what my spring project is. And so that was that's hard. That's really hard for me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's out of sync. Yeah,
it is out of sync. And I'm already, I mean, as soon as I got done with that stand up and photographed it and wrote the article and all that stuff, I right away, you know, I like started thinking about what am I going to do for the summer issue, and I'm already working on the summer issue thing that I'm going to stitch. And I really do think the next one, this next thing has never been done before, what I'm going to make.
Ooh.
And tantalizing. If I can get it to work out, it's going to be
yeah, be careful awesome. Now. Oops.
If I can get it to work out, it's going to be awesome. But we'll see. I don't know. I hope I can do it now that I've said it. Probably that might have just, you know, choked myself
yep.
right there.
Yep. It's over. It's all over. Find another project. Oh, never happened.
Oh, well. Yep.
So, all right. Oh, and then I meant last time we talked, what is your deadline to have stuff by Christmas? Because you moved that up.
I moved it up, but this time, since I'm doing my whole stuff different this year, I'm just opening windows of opportunity.
Oh.
That sounds crazy. So it could be a fact. I don't know how this is going to work because, you know, people usually, but it doesn't really matter even when I say the deadline really wasn't for people to get it to me by that time. The deadline was just for me to just say, okay, that's it. Time out. I'm not accepting anything more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so how I'm doing it, how it's shaping up is that I'm scheduling myself. Really, I'm scheduling myself to like, this day I'm doing this person, next day I'm doing, you know, based on how many finishes they have. I'm waitlisting. I'm putting everyone on a wait list and I'm calling people as they appear on my wait list. So I have them, you know, in numerical order.
Oh.
And so it could be feasible that I'm going to still say that September 1st is my cutoff, but I don't know because, you know, I might be you know, it just depends. Because right now I haven't been open at all, you know, to accept anything because I've already had packages stacked up. That's how come I started so soon back is because I had so many people from 2018 send to me after my Christmas deadline with the knowledge knowing that I was not going to finish it in 2018. That they wanted it, you know, already stacked up and waiting for 2019 for whenever I started. So I am scheduled currently right now through the second week of March.
Okay.
So with finishes, I'm very blessed and I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining that I'm busy. I am very blessed. I have so much work. I can't hardly keep up with it. But that's how come I'm making rules for myself because it's keeping me, I'm enjoying my time, my weekends off on, I'm not working on the weekends. I was working, you know, every weekend for like 6 or 7 months. I was working 7 days a week and I just can't do that to myself this year.
No, nobody can do that. You can't sustain
that.
No,
I can't sustain it. And, you know, there's other finishers out there and, but I think that I will just say this is how I'm so blessed. There's just so many people that want me to touch their things. And that's an honor to me to have that kind of name. You know what I mean? That's to have that kind of, I don't know, what is that? Recognition, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
that, you know, that's nice. That's great. That's wonderful. But I cannot touch everybody in the world's projects. And I get probably, I would say on a week, I get, I would say 15 to 20 people that want me, that talk to me about finishing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's a lot of people.
So if you want your piece finished for Christmas and you want Vonna corners and porcelain smooth surfaces, I'm going to say August 1st is going to be your best shot.
I'm going to say that you need the sooner you can get your name on my wait list, the better off you will be.
Stitch your little brains out. Yep.
Yeah, you need to be like, and I'm not, and another thing, and I've had a couple of people contact me, well, just put my name on your wait list. No.
No.
No, that's not how it works.
No.
I have to know that you have pieces that are ready to be finished to be on my wait list because, you know, how many of us, and I'm not trying to be a hard nose about this, but how many of us say, I am going to have X, Y, and Z done by this date?
Yeah, no.
So sorry. And I say that in my business sheets that I send to people, prospective clients that want to be on my client list. In my sheets, it says, I don't talk, you know, we're not dreaming. I don't know how I word it, but if you don't have the project completed, I do not speak to you about, I don't work up the finish. I don't tell you how much it estimated cost. I can't do that. That's just wasting my time. You know what I mean? Right. Because I have a lot of people say, well, I have this idea. Can you do? And I used to, when I first started out, you know, 12 years ago doing this, I would, yeah, we can do that. And I can do this and I can do that. And then did I ever hear from those people? No.
No.
So, I mean, I hate to say this, but time is money. And that doesn't make me like, what is that called? Greedy to say that, because I'm definitely not greedy. It's just that it's just wasteful to me. You know, I only talk about projects that are completed. Right. You know,
well, that's like going to a restaurant where a party of 20 and 18 of them will be here.
Right.
Yeah. No, when all 20 are here, then that's when we'll see you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. Yeah.
Or go to a restaurant and say, you know, I really want pot roast. Now, I won't be here to eat it until next week.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that you're going to make pot roast next week. You know, that doesn't work.
So, yep. All right. So, folks, you know, if you want Vonna to do it, get cracking.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know how that is. Because, see, last night, I started the Linen and Threads stitch along mystery sampler thing, because I had thread that I liked as a combination, and I had linen that, you know, it all went together. So no expenditure, just cut out a piece of linen, and so I started that, and it's, you know, the time I get to stitch, it's consumed most of it here in January, and I knew this was going to happen. So we're down to the end of January. And it's this peacock in the center, and it's very, very nicely designed, and really, I like it. And so I have the body done, and now I've started on the wing, you know, all the feathers, the big fan of feathers. And I'm pounding, I'm pounding away on it, and I'm never going to get this done in January so I can be ready for the February one. You know, every stitch along is like that. And then sitting over in the corner is Sarah Brazier. And, you know, a monster of a thing. And I really enjoy stitching that. So last night, I just put the linen thread thing away. I'll get back to that in a couple of weeks. And out came Sarah Brazier and back at it. So,
yeah. Got her back. Yeah. So, so that linen and threads, does it go every month for 12 months?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But see, the only reason I started it this year is, like, last year's was, I thought, quite large, and it is quite large and quite dense. And this one fits on an 18 by 18 piece of 40 count linen.
Mm.
So I thought, all right, that I can do. You know, that, how bad can, you know, how much time can that consume? Well, a good portion of the time I had available. So.
Oh, shoot.
So it's, you know, and then it just cracks me up. There's so many of them in the Stitch Along Facebook group. Been waiting for 2 weeks. You know, when's February 1st going to get here so I can do the next section? Right. And I just want to go, oh, please stop that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you know, you've talked about this, and I didn't go look at that one, but I kept on hearing or seeing, I think I've kept on seeing this modern folk embroidery. Have you heard about this guy?
No.
Okay. I believe he's German. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. He's definitely not American. I think he's European of some sort. And it's a man, and his name of his company is Modern Folk Embroidery. As soon as I saw his designs, I thought, oh, Gary would like these. I like them. A lot of, they're very traditional looking designs, yet kind of modernistic in the fact that it's usually they're all monochromatic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of Quakers, and you know, I have a flirty love affair with Quakers. I just really like Quakers. I like them. How many has Vonna done? I think maybe only one.
Excellent.
But I know, awesome. But I like it. Well,
so okay. Impressive.
I know it is impressive, my knowledge on Quaker samplers. But anyways, I love the, I guess the geometric look that they have,
yeah,
the
yeah.
You know, like the cleanness of them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anyways. So I fell down this rabbit hole last week, right? And I looked this guy up. I'm modern folk embroidery. I didn't know it was a man. I'm going to be honest. I thought it was probably a woman.
That and is so sexist, Vonna. I can't believe you.
I know. Can you believe that? Anyway, so I'm Googling it. And he, lo and behold, Gary, he has a stitch along. A 2019 stitch along. Well, yeah, I told you the last show how I stink at stitch along.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do. And I thought, oh, I'm not even looking at that. I'm not even going to look at that. And so, but I kept on looking and clicking and clicking, and it kept on going back to my 29, to his homepage, which said, you know, 29. So guess who is doing the 2019
Jeez.
stitch along? Me!
You have the self-discipline of a gnat, I tell you.
I'm horrible. Anyways, that's why I'm shocked that Mary, Jesus, and Joseph and the angel isn't on their way here to my house. But anyways, it's a Quaker. It's a Quaker design. It's got 9 parts, I think. And I don't know, don't quote me on that either. But it's a nice design. And you buy each, now you have to pay for it. It's like $2, I think, American $2. And it's really, I'm very impressed. I mean, of course, I only have like probably 100 stitches in it. But it like consumed one day while I was finishing. I was looking, watching, you know, I looked at his website and I kept on thinking about it. And oh, do I have this? And oh, I have linen here. I was same as you and your peacock. You know, oh, I have the linen here. I have the threads here. No money except for the chart.
Right.
You know,
right.
And what's $2? That's nothing. Guys designed this nice sampler. And then I kept on, there's a hashtag on Instagram. So I kept on looking at that on Instagram and I bought into it. And we'll see. I don't know if we're, I don't know. How we're going to go on
I think
that.
I know how it's going to go. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not going to fly either. But anyways, I bought into it. If anything, it got me seeing, it introduced me to this new designer that I didn't know anything about. But I'm kind of in the dark on a lot of things. And he has some very nice designs. So I would
You know, your kids were mentioning that to me just the other day. My mom is kind of in the dark about
a lot of things. You can get a lot of things by her. But yeah, I kind of am. I am naive about a lot of stuff. But anyway, but he's a nice design. He's got a lot of designs. So I would encourage any of y'all to go look up Modern Folk Embroidery. His name is Jacob. And he's got a very nice picture of himself on his website too.
I have made a note. Maybe he could
Lovely
be a guest.
Designs.
You just never know.
I tell you what, I was going to tell you that, but I didn't know if we could say that on the air.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, you should look into Jacob being a, I love his designs. I'm a fan. I go and look like probably once a day. I've been going and looking at all.
Oh, he really sucked you in.
Yeah, he's really, Jacob has really gotten me. Hook, line, sinker.
All right. A note has been made. Yay. A good one. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. He's got lovely things. Lovely. His website is beautiful. I think he also has a blog that is also connected. You know, you can get to it from his website. Uh-huh. Beautiful. And it's PDF patterns too.
Oh,
how convenient. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of those. Yeah.
I mean, it's convenient. I mean, he also sells hard copies too. But boy, I mean, that was what finally sunk me is when I said $2 PDF, I can have it right now. Of course, yeah, here's my $2. Here's my $2, Jacob.
Yes. You're just a brick wall of resistance. Yeah.
I am.
I'm checking that out. No, I like the PDF thing because I have on one. I have a couple of external drives for backups, and when I get too much stuff on my main hard drive, then I can, you know, I dump stuff on there because, you know, a terabyte drive for $100 anymore, and so I have a folder of free of those kinds of PDFs that I bought or free charts that have come along.
Uh-huh.
And so yeah, I just download them and dump them in there. And
yeah,
it's just real convenient. And then it doesn't look like you have a huge stash of charts.
Until your hard drive is completely packed.
Well, there's that. Yes.
Yeah. You have to tell your husband, I think we need another, you know, hard drive.
Yeah. For what? Never mind, just get one. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, just get one. I don't want to hear about it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So, okay. Well, all right. Modern Folk Embroidery, Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. We have to get a plug in for the Dayton, Ohio chapter of the EGA.
Hmm.
Embroiderers Guild of America, for those who don't know, code EGA. So they have this 2019 symposium, which suggests that they have one every year. So anyway, it's called The Work of Our Hands, Then and Now, April 10 in Kettering, Ohio. See, just down the road from you, Vanna. There you go.
Yeah, not very far, really. Yeah.
Their main speaker will be well-known author, scholar, and lecturer Kathleen Staples, who will give 3 lectures in the morning covering the then, so the history.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hunt down Kathleen Staples. I'm always fascinated by the history of the needleworks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just amazing what people are able to learn and know.
Right.
And it gives, you know, it gives such a different view of history than we normally get.
Yes.
Yeah. So Kathleen is going to speak in the morning, 3 lectures. I assume there'll be breaks with food in the afternoon. Or I ain't going. I mean, it's just that simple. and then the afternoon, they will address now. So Pam Geisel, a local art quilter, will talk about quilts and how she dreams them up. Kind of like the way you dream up nativity scenes, just hours of thinking about nativity scenes.
That's right.
Yeah. Terry Owen, a local shop owner, will discuss sustainable dyeing of fibers and fabrics and running a woman-owned business. And then Marianne Sakar or Sakar, S-A-K-A-R, and Sharon Fields. Marianne is a physical therapist. This is why you have to go, Vanna.
Yeah.
Marianne is a physical therapist, and Sharon is an occupational therapist, and they're going to present Stitch Without a Glitch, discussing how to prevent stitching injuries now and make adaptations for the future as we get to be older stitchers. Well, that's kind of hard to resist or to prevent. Yeah. But yeah, so that you need to go for that, Vanna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
So that looks like quite a thing. So it's April 10 in Kettering, Ohio. And then I'll put a link on the page for this podcast so you can find out. But it's ega-dayton.webs.com. So ega-dayton.webs.com. And there's another daytonsymposia.htm, but it doesn't matter. I'm sure there's a link on that homepage. I say that with great confidence, though I've not actually looked. Because, see, that would require preparation and planning and you know, nah. So check that out. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like a good
day.
So
are they open it to anybody? You don't have to be a member of the EGA?
Now, Vanna, you're asking questions for which I'm not prepared.
I guess we can go on the DaytonWebs.com/Dayton Symposium,
right,
and we'll have that question answered.
The fact that she asked me if I would mention it on a podcast suggests to me that they want anyone and everyone.
Yeah, that suggests that to me too.
So, but again, preparation,
nah.
The fact that I pasted it into the sheet that we're using, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Thank you very much.
I think the best shows are by the seat of our pants.
Which is most of them.
Most of them, yeah. Especially with me.
Yeah, so.
It seems like, okay.
So there we go, you know. Now, see, your professional podcasting operation would have that all laid out. you know, 10 questions, 10 frequently asked questions for people attending the Dayton, Ohio chapter, you know, all of that. But nah, nah, just,
yeah. There it is. Geez.
Yep. So there we have that. That's pretty good. Now you had a question. I thought this opened up a whole bunch of things for me because you had a question about someone who was having their threads were breaking in their needles.
Yes.
And so then that opened up for me a whole series of things about what I called thread management and all the little things that, that people do with their thread just to get to get the best presentation with the thread and not, you know, I'm not talking about stitching tension or, you know, laying the threads or anything like that, but just the other little things. Like one of the questions that comes up a lot is how long should I cut a piece of thread? And I always go like 18 inches ish.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Okay. Some people say from wrist to elbow.
Yeah, which, okay, so you think from nose and to out, like if you hold your arm straight out, that is, you know, basically a yard. And so think about that from your nose with your arm straight out to your side, that's a yard. And so think about that from your thumb to your elbow, that'd be about 18 inches.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I always do 18 inches too, as well.
Yeah. Roughly. Yeah.
Roughly. Yeah.
You just get a sense. Yeah. I love those. I love those, body length tricks. Cause, one that I use a lot is if you take your index finger and, and fold it over that knuckle,
The
knuckle is about an inch.
Oh yeah, that sure is.
Yeah. So I've used that. I use that to measure a lot.
Well, okay. So here's another one. The palm of your hand.
No, folks, we're not going to go through the entire body.
The palm of your hand is 6 ounces or 4 ounces. I don't know. Weight Watchers. That's what size of protein you're supposed to have on your plate. I don't know why.
That's 6 ounces. So if you put a pile of protein, whatever that might be, on the palm of your hand, that's about 6 ounces, huh?
Yeah. That's what, the size of your palm, yeah.
Huh. That ain't enough, Anna.
I don't know. Yeah, that's not very much. It's not very much. But I got a 6 ounce sirloin at I don't know. Where was I at? I was at somewhere, Cheddar's or somewhere, and they brought it out, and I was like, I wanted to say, is that it? What? That's it?
And you're charging what for this?
Yeah. I wanted a steak, not a bite, you know. So... Oh, shoot.
Husband's restraining Vanna. Calm down, calm down. We'll get you another one.
Yeah, but that's, I like those body, you know, those body measurement things too. That's good, handy. Inch.
Yeah, because now I did not know that for a yard, but yep, it is about a yard. Yeah.
Yep, that's good. About a yard.
Yep. See, they're just handy to have. So there we go.
Yeah.
You know, all this information, folks, is for free. There's no charge for this in-depth, valuable information.
That's right, that you can implement into your life and be a better person.
that's what's happening. So 18 inches, and then, but now if it's a specialty thread, like some of those rainbow galleries and stuff, or Krynex, then I always, I get short.
I do too. I probably do like, I would say 10 inches.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely less than a foot. Yeah.
Because
otherwise you're fighting them. Boy, you get in those situations where you've got a piece of Krynex where you have to cut it long. Holy smokes. You got to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. And I mean, I like Krynex. I don't have any problems with it at all, but you're right. I mean, they kind of like not, what it like unwinds or something on the end or something, and then trying to get it through the needle. I just learned to cut it shorter, and then that way you don't, you know, cuss. That's the way I mean, you know, I want to cuss.
I did not think of that as a way to prevent cussing.
You know, I'm all about not sinning. So. So I just cut it short, and then that saves a lot of stuff, a lot of, you know, good things. I mean, you stay straight and narrow. So yeah, yeah. Cut it short.
Yeah. I don't want to have to haul out the rosary here. Cut it short.
No, that's right. Cut it short.
There we have it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. See, I cut it short just so it doesn't knot up and twist up. But
yeah,
didn't think of the swearing part. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one. But yeah, that's those and like Rainbow Gallery, some of those things. Yeah, they'll fray all over the place. So I'm really careful with those. And I always go like Krynek. I always go a lot slower.
Yeah.
And like I'll help the thread through from underneath so yeah, it doesn't wiggle, knot yeah. up on me. Because I hate, you know, pulling knots out of cotton is one thing. You get a tight knot in Krynek and it's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, you might as well just, you know, cut it and cut yeah. your losses and start over.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, and it never unknots clean either. You know, there's always a no. weird little kink in it or something. And you know yeah. where that kink goes on the top.
Yeah. Yes. yeah, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And another thing about the fraying or the wear on, even on cotton, because I got dinged about this in one of the times I had my work, you know, judged. They said that one of the specific comments was to use shorter lengths because my thread looked fuzzy in places. Yeah. And so I started being very aware of how long my thread was at that time. Yeah. And it does get, even cotton gets fuzzy if you pull it the same way. That's why I have long, so in my 18 inches that I cut for overdyes or DMC or whatever, I also have a very long tail, and then every 3 or 4 stitches, I move my needle down so the eye is not wearing at the same juncture of that thread, and that prevents getting fuzzy too.
Yeah, that's now I know you use that technique. Now, see, I don't keep the long tail, but then I don't stitch all the way to the end either.
Yeah, I stitch all the way to the where you can hardly turn your needle. And I don't know why I do that, but I do that. I think it's because of how I stitch, I don't have that wear and tear on my threads. Like, you know, now I will say this, if I use just a little bit of thread, let's say I cut 18 inches, I have like 10 inches usable left. If it's not an overdye thread, I just throw it away.
Yeah.
I mean, I just put it in the orts. I don't rewind it on my DMC card or anything like that. I just throw that length away. And ever since I've really started using the pin stitch, I don't do the loop method at all.
Yeah.
I use pin stitch because I think somebody told me, and I don't know who it was, but it was somebody smart. So, I didn't come up with this on my own, but somebody told me that.
Fauna went to someone with a brain for this one.
Yeah. I just am I'm a follower. Anyway, they said that thread has, you know how when they say you cut your thread and you balloon at the end, and which one balloons the most is the the thread goes.
Yeah.
And somebody told me that probably a judge was seeing that I started the loop method. That's how come my threads didn't look smooth, and that you always should not use the loop method because that means one leg is going the right way and one leg is going the wrong way.
See, I'm not a believer in that nap thing anyway. I subscribe to the Mary Corbett, that's hogwash approach, but I've not ever been able to see a appreciable difference. But the other thing when it comes to those is I've found if I'm stitching 2 or 3 threads, and I think it was Trish Burr mentioned this on a podcast, about if you have 2 threads or 3 threads, take one and flip it end to end, and they'll lay better because they can't retwist.
Oh.
And so I've been doing that, and I think that, I mean, that works for me.
Well, then that means there has to be a nap or whatever.
No, it has to do with they're all twisted together. And so So see, they can't go back because the twist is cross purposes, and I find they lay better. And you don't fight with it as much.
Well, that's something.
And so
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's whatever a wet, whatever, we need to have the official term here. We keep on saying, calling it about 50 different things. The nap or the whatever. If whatever that is, I don't know if there is or not, but I will say that I don't know really what I am saying, Gary. I can't tell you. I do the pin stitch now almost exclusively, even if I am stitching with two threads. And I think that makes a difference in how my pieces look. Maybe that's all in my head. A lot of things are just in my head. But I think that it does look different rather than doing a loop method.
Yeah. Now, see, I don't use the loop method at all, no. I never cared for it. I don't know why. Just never have.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot, but I don't do it at all. I do the pin, the, you know, the half diagonal pin stitch thing.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to look behind my thing. I don't have to look behind anymore. I just do it.
No, that's what I do, and I got that from you. And don't anymore. I don't even look.
No, I don't either.
You know, I just go. Yeah, and if there's a little tag in the back when I flip it over, I'll trim them off. But I don't even.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that has been in the last 5 years. Well, heck, 2 years. That has been the best thing that I've started doing in my stitching, you know, for that has just been wonderful. And if people don't know what they're talking about, what we're talking about, the diagonal pin stitch, I have an excellent computer generated diagram on my blog, The Twisted Stitcher. And I think it's under tips and techniques on my tab. And you can see it there. To do it.
I'll put a link for that because people should know about that.
Yeah, that is a fabulous, fabulous tip. I mean, and a technique because it has made a huge difference in my stitching, in my mind.
I like it because I think it's much cleaner, but also I get stitching that thread faster.
Yes.
We're off and running much faster, and I like that.
Yeah, and no flipping and flopping and, you know, all of that. And it's fabulous. Yes, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, so I'll put a link because people should try that. And I think you have to try it a little bit. Don't do one and it didn't work. No, try it several times. It'll work. It's very nice.
Yes, it is.
And then your needle technique where you bring the eye up when you come back up first, I think that's a great technique too. Yeah.
Thanks about that. You know what? I'm going to tell you something else for people that use that technique, and that's on my YouTube channel where I demonstrate that in a couple of different videos. But there's one that says tip techniques. You know, I found these needles. Well, actually, somebody sent me it. Cottage Needle sent it to me. She's an Etsy cross stitch shop. And she sent me as a thank you for buying a chart from her. She calls them Stitchy Pop Needles. And they're European. I don't know where they're made at or what their real name is. She calls them Stitchy Pop. But they have a ballpoint tip. And the eye is relatively pretty large, more oval than what like a Bowen needle or a Peacemaker needle is. And I started using those last summer when she sent me one, and then I loved it. And I bought some more from her. And to make a long story short, they are fabulous and they do not pierce your, when you use my technique, sometimes, especially with 28 count needles, they have a tendency to pierce your finger, you know, like if you don't have, I have a callus, but you know, that's one of the things I hear from people. It's like, oh, it makes me, you know, it makes my finger bleed to use that. Well, these don't because they have a ballpoint on the tip and it's a really fabulous needle. So the Cottage Needle, they're called Stitchy Pop Needles. If you use my technique and like it, you might want to try those needles. I love those needles.
Now, I've heard about the first, I don't know that I've ever had anyone proudly announce they have a callus. But anyway, That's a first. So I'm making a note there. But I've heard of these needles with the ball on the end. So immediately I think, oh no, that's going to open up a big hole when the needle goes through. But so the ball is what, the width of the shank of the needle?
No, it's not even that wide, I don't think.
Oh.
So like the tip, it'd be like if you took the needle and where the point is, it's just like they almost just like put just a teeny tiny ball on it. It's not like a ballpoint pen ball.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's smaller than that.
Hmm.
And So I have a friend that stitches like me, and we saw each other at a retreat this fall, and I gave everyone at my table here's the gift, you know, and I gave them, every one of them, one of those needles. And my one friend that stitches like me was like, oh my gosh, this is the most fabulous. I'm going to get these needles. These are fabulous needles. She really did see the value in them. My other friend who was with me and at the table, she was like, she stitched with it a while and then gave it back to me. But she doesn't stitch like me. She, you know, she turns her needle. So she didn't like it. But the other ones all kept it. So I don't know what they thought about it, because I gave everybody. But my two friends, the one who stitches like me using my technique, loves it. And the other one that does not use my technique was like, here's your needle back. And I was like, you didn't like it? She was like, well, I thank you for giving it to me, but I don't care for it. I was like, okay. So there you go.
More for me. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I may have to try some of those. I struggle with just the mental image of it seems really not very good, but obviously it works. So.
Yeah. And there's different sizes, and I don't know what they're like 36, 40, you know, stuff like that. And I think, I don't know, don't quote me on that. I think the higher, it's like any other needles, the higher you go, the smaller it is. Mm-hmm. And but there's different sizes for whatever size.
So it's not like, 22, 24, 26, 28. They don't,
no,
it doesn't match up like that.
No, yeah. They're different. And she would, her name is Rochelle. I think that's her name at the Cottage Needle. And she would be, she's very nice and answers her, you know, her Etsy messages very quickly. And so she would tell you which ones are, you know, like if you stitch on 36 or 40 counts, she would tell you which one to purchase.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But they're nice. I like them.
Have to give that a try, I think.
Yeah. I like them a lot, Gary. If you stitch like me, I think you'd like them.
Yeah.
The eye is another fabulous thing about them, is that the eye is more oval rather than a slit, you know what I'm saying? Or like a, even on the high count needle, it's just, it's easier to thread or something. And you know, I'm getting older and I have a hard time threading, you know, seeing the eye first of all, and then it's a larger eye. I really like it. It's a shorter, larger eye, and I like that.
I'll have to check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm using I use Bowen has been always my base. And, and then I've been using Tulip quite a bit for needlepoint, and I really like those, the Tulip needles. But
Bowen I like Bowen too, but Peacemakers are my absolutely, besides these Stitchy Pops, Peacemakers are my needle of choice.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Funny how everyone has their favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody, and they're usually typically, and it's like a sewing machine too. Everybody is like company loyal, or you know what I mean,
right,
like
right,
brand
right.
loyal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty brand loyal to Peacemakers. I love Peacemakers in their chenille needles, their quilting needles, their, you know, cross stitch needles, all of that. I think that, I mean, I just like Peacemakers, but Bowen's very nice too, and I have them too. But I prefer, my preference, and I can tell them apart if they're in my pin cushion.
Yeah.
I can tell which ones are Bowen and which one are Peacemakers.
That's pretty good.
Their eyes are different, and their the shine to them is different too. So anyways, whatever, you know, here I go, blah, blah, blah about needles. But
and one of these days, somebody's going to do an article where they did research and all the needles are made in one factory in Norway.
That's right.
Every single one.
You're right.
Yeah. And we're going to go, oh.
Oh. Deflate my bubble.
Yep. Yeah, you know that's happening. So, okay, and of course, now I have not been watching the clock, and we're already running out of time. I hate that.
Oh, no.
So we need to get to, so the lady who asked about threads breaking in the needle.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She's been sitting this entire time going, hello? I had a question.
So you want me to say what I say?
Yes.
To people that ask me that question? Okay. Keep it 18 inches or shorter. I use my thread licker.
I knew that was coming.
I do not use Thread Magic or Thread Heaven anymore. I use my thread licker. And if people don't know what that is, it's just basically a dampened sponge. And I run my thread through that. And boy, it really does work. I think personally, I can tell a big difference, especially when I stitch with white. With white thread, it makes a huge, huge, phenomenal difference. So I use my thread licker. I do 18 inches or less. I have a long tail, and every 3 or 4 inches, I move my needle down so it's not wearing at the same spot. You have to also think about what your base fabric is. Some fabrics are very stiff and rough, things like raw linen, lamb's wool linen. Some brands like Wichelt linen is stiffer than what, say, a Weeksi Works linen is. I think an R&R fabric is stiffer than some other fabrics. And if you're stitching on a stiffer fabric like that, then you have to keep them shorter and be more aware of where your needle is so that it does not fray and break or thin. Even if it doesn't break, it'll thin the strands of your thread. So all of that is what I pay attention to. And if you don't like if you're against wetting your threads, if that, not wetting, it's dampening them, I guess, then I would try
moisturizing.
Moisturizing. If you're afraid of that, because I've had people say, oh, how can you do that? I don't know. But I mean, it's just water. First of all, it's not adding anything to it. If you don't like that idea, I would use Thread Magic or wax, beeswax, just good old beeswax. But that will help even on rough linen, beeswax or Thread Magic. But that's what I do. I always do the shorter length. I have a long tail and I use my thread licker. So there you go.
Now see,
when
I saw that, the first thing that came to mind is, are you using a quality needle? Or,
well, oh yeah, yeah. I told her to throw away your needles. Yeah, if you don't, and make sure that, well, a lot of times if you have an old needle, I think that something goes wrong there. Throw away your needle if you start seeing wear. And yeah. Do you have a quality needle? Yes, yes, yes. And then, you know, some brands, and I'm not going to say which brand I think, but there's some brands that just do not have clean eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that'll break your thread too. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. Yes, I told her that too. So.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other question I had, and this goes to roughness or stiffness of your ground cloth, is she using a big enough needle?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What size? Pay attention to what size needle. Yeah.
Because if you use it the right size, it should open that hole so that the thread is not dragging very much.
Right. And, right.
Yeah. So I always, those are the first two things that came to my mind was, but breaking thread in a needle, man, something, I just thought, oh, there's something in that eye that's wearing on that needle.
Right. Or the first thing that I thought when the lady emailed me was that she's using long lengths of thread and not moving her eye or needle. And she's just sewing, 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 sewing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's, you know, just making it weak.
Yeah.
So
yeah, at some point, anything's going to wear out. Yes.
Right. Right. That was the first thing. I didn't even I did tell her get a new needle, but I did not think about that today. And I'll be honest with you, that wouldn't be the first thing that I thought. If it happened to me, I wouldn't think that. But that is a very good point. That's true. It might not be right. Right. So. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, you wouldn't think of it because you're always using quality needles. So it's
right.
But to me, that's your primary tool.
Yes.
And even as your primary tool in relative terms, it's just dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Half dozen of them for, so don't scrimp on that.
No.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not.
Because even if it isn't breaking your threads, it's not doing them any good if you have a cheap needle or one that's got a ragged eye.
Yes.
Or a ragged finish on the shank that's wearing on your ground cloth. It's just not worth it.
No.
They're just not that expensive.
No, it's not. And, but why is that? Because I'm the same way. I think, oh, my gosh, I lost a needle. And, I have, 20 in my pin cushion that I use, all the time. Because I load up 3 or 4 or 5 and put them on my piece and stitch with them at once, not at once, but you understand they're waiting on my piece. And, but last night I lost one and I was like, I hunted for 30 minutes. And finally I was like, what am I doing? What is my problem? I've got packs and packs and packs of them. Why am I searching for one needle? Whatever.
Yep. Well, was it somebody I read this morning? Have you ever searched for a needle for 15 minutes only to discover it's in your mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
or stuff I sometimes will, if I get up from some place and go to another and I'm done, I'll stick it in my shirt. I'll weave it, in my shirt.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And I'll go someplace and people will be looking at my chest and I'll think, what are they looking at? You know what I mean? Because I don't have a very impressive chest. And I'll think, what are they doing? And then that night when I take off, get ready to go to bed, it's like, oh my gosh, that's what they were looking at. I have 3 needles stuck in my shirt. So
you accessorized.
I was. Yeah. I was really busy that day. I had 3 needles, and usually they're not nicely woven. It's usually that it's flipped over, flopped over and stuck. You know what I mean? And stuck all wonky. That's why they were looking there. What is that woman doing? Is she,
she's got a problem.
Yeah, she does have a problem.
Oh, man. Excellent. Your husband must roll his eyes hourly.
He is the most, he's like the angel Gabriel. That's what I always tell him. But he, he just, I don't know. What is that? He just whatever I want. It's whatever, dear. He's just so good. He really is.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. Every report. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. We got to wrap this up. Sunday, we have from the Embroiderers Guild NSW, New South Wales in Australia, we're going to have Wendy Schmid, who is the president, and April McNee, who is the coordinator for exhibitions and galleries, joining us to talk about all of the programs and things they have going at the Embroiderers Guild facility in Australia. And it really, just doing research for this, boy, it's quite an operation. I'm really anxious. I haven't recorded it yet. But really anxious to talk with them and learn, because they have a lot going on, exhibitions and a program for kids, and really looks impressive. So anxious to hear about that.
Me too.
Yeah. So that's coming up Sunday.
Awesome.
Yay. All right. That's it, Vonna. So
Gary, thank you again. It's always fun.
Always fun. And we have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about that on the list here that we didn't get to. So that's good.
Yeah. 3 weeks. We'll be right back at it.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Vonna. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.